Welcome to the Money Control Real Estate Show, where we provide actionable advice from real estate experts, developers, and first-time homebuyers every week. I am your host, Vandana Ramnani. Today, we have a very special guest, Ramesh Nair, CEO, India, and Managing Director, Market Development Asia at Colliers, to tell us how the property market will pan out in 2022. Thank you, Ramesh, for joining us on the first show. Hope you had a great new year.
Thanks for having me on your show, Vandana. It's great to be on your show and I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Ramesh. So, tell us, how does 2022 look for real estate investors and first-time homebuyers, Ramesh?
I feel, Vandana, it's definitely a good time to buy a home. Mm-hmm. I know it's normally when any consultant speaks about the residential market, that's something one has heard that for a very long time, that it's a good time to buy a home. But seriously, when I look at the market over the last 6-7 years, this is definitely the best time to buy a home. I feel prices have started becoming a lot more realistic. Many developers who start giving discounts, when COVID started last March, April, developers start giving discounts. Many of those discounts are slowly kind of going away. Interest rates, we are at the lowest interest rates I've ever heard of or seen. And I think there are many developers today who are willing to offer attractive payment plans. So overall, from a timing point of view, I think this is definitely a good time. Also, one needs to keep in mind that new construction is slowly slowing down, which means real estate is a demand-supply game like many other asset classes. And when demand is high and supply is low, prices tend to go up. So overall, I believe everyone knows that the market has definitely improved post-COVID. Many cities, we are seeing a small revival of prices also. Unsold inventory is definitely coming down. Mm-hmm. Sales is definitely much more than the supply of new launches. So in a nutshell, good time to buy a house.
And what about people wanting to invest in commercial real estate, Ramesh?
So from a commercial real estate point of view, obviously people invest in commercial real estate. They typically look for yields, which is income producing investments. So one needs to kind of look for cash flows. Today, there are multiple ways to invest in commercial real estate. One, you go buy property directly. I'll talk a little bit about that now. Secondly, you can buy fractional, put money into fractional ownership companies. There are quite a few who have come up in the last couple of years. Right. And third is investing money in REITs. But if you look at the first aspect, which is buying commercial real estate directly, everyone needs to make sure you look at the vacancy factor before you buy. Is there a potential for vacancy? In today's times, I would definitely look at the modernizing potential. Is there a refurbishment potential? Is there a modernizing potential of the commercial real estate asset? And by modernizing the building or the space, can I get higher incremental rentals, minor or major building upgrades? Mm-hmm. So can you convert a grade B option into a grade A option? I'd look at aspects like cash flows. It's very important that when you're buying commercial real estate, you need to look at aspects like what are the various expenses you'll incur. It's very different from residential. You need to look at what are the property taxes, what is the maintenance, what is the insurance expenses. So all these are things one needs to look at before. And if you're looking at income producing assets, you obviously look at escalation clauses. What is the expiry dates? Mm-hmm. What is the lock-in period? What is the security deposit? Is there a potential for long-term capital appreciation? Is there a potential for medium-term cap rate compression? What is the staying power of the tenant? Is he going to be there long-term? All these are things which one needs to look at, Vandana, if you're looking at commercial, which is more, I would say, technical or a sophisticated asset class than residential.
Residential, right. So also, Ramesh, once you've kind of zeroed in on a property, you know, how should an investor or a home buyer, you know, get about negotiating a great deal?
So I think for any investor, Vandana, it's quite important that he has a flexible investment strategy. So you shouldn't be fixated that I'll only do this. You should read. You should research. Today there are a lot of reports from consultancy firms like ours. You should try and anticipate trends. I've always looked at two things while looking at investing in a property, and this has been mm-hmm. my guidance for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
One is have a cash flow driven model.
Okay.
Like, what is the cash I'm going to be getting? Don't just invest in real estate just because you're going to see capital appreciation.
Okay.
You should invest in real estate also because, one, you get capital appreciation. Secondly, it should be a conservative cash flow driven investment. And second and most important, which I've seen a lot of people forget, is you should have, as an investor, when
yeah.
you buy a home to stay,
yeah.
you don't have to worry about exit. But when you're an investor, you should always look at what the exit is going to be. How can I exit? Is it easy to exit? Is it a liquid asset? Is it going to take me a long time to exit? That is very, very important. So my advice to investors would be, one, research, read a lot, look at podcasts like this, look at moneycontrol.com, look at research papers from various property consultancy firms, read the newspapers, look at a diversified strategy.
Okay.
Don't just look at one city or one asset class. Try and see if you can spread it a little bit. If you're looking at South, maybe look at Chennai, Bangalore, Hyderabad. If you're looking at West, look at a investment strategy where you have Mumbai and Pune. Always you need to be a good negotiator. Don't feel bad to give a counter offer. That's something which is very, very important. And over a period of time, you become an expert in one investment technique. And try and see how you can become better at it. So in your mind, you should plan a deal from start to finish. That's very important. Whether you're a commercial investor, a sophisticated commercial investor, or you are a residential investor, plan the deal from start to finish. These are some of the things which I will keep in mind. And more than anything else, always look at what are the risks involved, which is very important, because you don't want to buy something, and getting into real estate is not risk free. Like all other asset classes, you need to identify those risks involved before investing.
Okay. So, Ramesh, another question that most of our listeners have is whether, you know, they should actually be looking at the real estate market when they're not even ready for it. I mean, what, you know, if they don't have the adequate amount to invest in real estate, you know, what then? So how do they know that they're actually ready to invest in real estate?
Buying a home is very important. Once you have bought a home, then you can decide whether you need to get into commercial real estate investments. If you have, let's say, less than 30, 40 lakhs or 10 lakhs or 20 lakhs to invest, I would definitely recommend a REIT.
Okay.
Or maybe you can look at a fractional ownership if it's more than that. Unless you have 3-4 crores, I wouldn't recommend that you look at direct ownership of homes. I would say you definitely need a home. Now the concept of a second home is gaining a lot of momentum in the last 2 years thanks to COVID. Weekend homes, there are travel issues. People want to drive 1-2 hours, go to their second home. That again is something one can look at. Real estate, see, one thing you should remember is, in real estate, we don't have Black Mondays and Black Tuesdays and Black Fridays where 20% of your value of your asset can vanish in 10 minutes. We don't have those kind of things in this asset class. Even if prices go down 10, 15, 20%, even if it goes, it normally doesn't go. Even if it goes down, it goes down over a few years.
True.
And because it happens over a few years, you have adequate time to exit and to invest somewhere else. So I would definitely recommend a residential investment if you're wanting to stay.
Okay.
And maybe look at a second weekend home or vacation home, what people call it.
Okay. And what about things that one can go wrong while investing in a property?
So there are multiple things you need to keep in mind. Today, when investing, I would definitely look at the developer's track record more than anything else.
Right.
I would typically put in money where a project is nearing completion or completed, or it's like, let's say, 6-8 months away from completion. I would look at what is the developer's track record with regards to violations. Has he violated before? What is his delivery timelines? Does he get occupancy certificates on time? What are the clean titles? I would always use a lawyer to check the titles of the property. I would look at, from a compliance perspective, what is the construction compliance the developer follows? Does he follow all the rule books? I would definitely look at the brand of the developer, his overall reputation. I'd look at what are the systems the developer has. Is there any financial risks? We saw a lot of developers go belly up during 2008. We saw a lot of developers get into trouble after the NBFC post-INFS crisis. So I would look at what is the fund availability? Does the project have financial closure? Does the developer have enough cash flows to complete the projects? What has been his funding patterns? How many projects is he doing now? Does he have end-to-end funding for the specific project which I'm looking at? These are all things I would very, very closely look at. From a developer point of view, it's very important. The developers today face multiple challenges. Many developers are new, which means they have less operating history of managing the business. Developers, how many developers today have the ability of making sure that they have the right amount of land, the right contiguous land to do a project? What is does he have the right documentation, development agreements, all those kind of things?
Right.
And this is a government regulation, all that. So multiple things. It's not an easy asset class overall.
And what kind of returns do you think investors and, you know, buyers of apartments can look forward to in 2022? I mean, can they look at a decent amount of return on investment?
I think given that the markets are bottoming out, given that we believe that most markets in the country are bottoming out, and as you can get 2.5 to 3% from a rental yield point of view. And if you can be in a market, for different markets, there are different corridors which show growth. My bet would be on corridors where infrastructure is improving. So I would say that given where the market is, expecting a 5 to 7% capital appreciation in corridors which are seeing good amount of infrastructure, corridors which have good amount of IT companies, corridors which are creating a lot of jobs. So at the 2-3% rent, 2.5 to 3% rental yield, and around a 5 to 7% capital appreciation is something one should look at if they get that corridor right.
Okay. Ramesh, what if one were to invest in a REIT? What kind of return on investment can one look forward to?
See, REIT investing, again, one should remember that REIT is an extremely, extremely large asset class globally. In India, you look at the three REITs today, they're only office REITs.
Right.
They have a market cap of close to $8 billion. But internationally, it's more than a $2 trillion asset class. The good thing about the three REITs in the country is all three are sponsored by global sponsors. So there's one REIT which is being done by Brookfield. There are two REITs which is backed by Blackstone. All these REITs have been done by teams which have very, very good local expertise. These REITs have good multinational tenants, very strong corporate governance. It's going to be very difficult to replicate these REITs. So while looking at REITs, I think there are, from a return point of view, I think worst case scenario, somebody can expect a 6 to 8% return.
Right.
There is also an opportunity for mark to market. What I mean by mark to market is tenants who are paying low rentals now, who will end up paying more rentals, or the tenant or the landlord can, when the tenant's lease comes to an end, and he gets a new tenant, he can increase the rental. So that opportunity is there. Plus, on-campus development, the potential to develop more on campus. So that's, again, something one can definitely look at. I've been reasonably bullish on REITs because it gives me a lot of predictability. It gives very low volatility and very liquid. I can sell REITs at the press of a button. I can sell a REIT, and overall the investment theme where you're getting not just regular dividends but also growing your rental.
Right.
So I think all these make and today, you know, REIT markets, it's not a very it's an asset class which has been around only since April 2019.
Right.
Which means it's a new asset class, and that's the reason we are only 3 REITs. But today's newspapers spoke about how Blackstone is now planning the next set of asset class REITs, which is your retail REITs. And REITs in the country are regulated by SEBI, which also means that it's well regulated, and there are no tax on dividends. So all these point towards REIT being a good investment vehicle.
Right. And Ramesh, would you advise our millennial listeners to invest in property in 2022? Do you think that should be part of the New Year's resolution?
100%. And then I think today, if you look at, as we are in approximately a 2.5, 2.6 trillion dollar economy, Indians save around 18 to 20%.
Right.
Of so if you look at the GDP of 2.6 trillion, and 18% of that is around 480 billion.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the physical assets Indians save, out of this 480 billion, more than $300 billion is in physical assets. Physical assets are gold, real estate, and most of that is real estate. Out of this 300 billion, more than 270, 280 billion dollars are in real estates, compared to bank deposits, insurance, stocks, which are the financial assets. Real estate is a big asset class. Overall, I'm quite bullish on housing. There was a research firm which had done a very good research on affordable housing opportunity in the country. It actually pegged affordable housing demand in the country at 10 million homes per annum.
Right.
Now, look at 10 million homes per annum. Where is this 10 million homes coming? 3.5 million out of this 10 million was coming from population growth. 2.5 out of this 10 million was coming because of nuclearization, bigger families becoming smaller. And 4 million was coming out of aspiration. Someone who's staying in one bedroom wanting to move to a two bedroom, someone who's in a two bedroom wanting to move into a three bedroom or a two and a half bedroom. So your total 3.5, 2.5 and 4, that's like nearly 10 million units of demand. So I would definitely say 2022 is going to be a good time to invest in real estate in India.
Fine. Thanks, Ramesh. Thanks for this wonderful advice. And I'm sure our listeners would have received valuable advice from Ramesh on everything about the property market. So for more tips and tricks on how to invest in real estate, tune in to the Money Control Real Estate Show next week. Bye.